How far does your horizon stretch? There are places around the world where you can stand, and on a clear day, you can see, you can just see the curve of the earth. My first church was in Long Branch, New Jersey. It was about a quarter mile inland from the shore. And I would go out, and there's the boardwalk there along the Jersey shore. And on a clear day, when you could see the horizon, you could just look out and you could notice the subtle curve of the earth. You could see the far horizon. Here, if you hike up to the top of the Wellsvilles, you can see farther than you can here. You hike up to the top of the Wellsvilles and you look on one side of the mountains and you can see all the way down the Wasatch Front. You can see the Great Salt Lake. You can see far horizon. If you look, you can see the whole sweep of the valley. It gives you perspective. John wants us to take a hike this morning, to hike to such a place with the opening of the gospel. Advent, as preparation for Christmas, is hiking up to the peak. But Christmas is here, it has come, and so we are standing on the peak. Jesus has come, and John wants us to look out at the far horizon, to see as far as we can see. John wants us to note that we can, what we can see along with him, that we can see as far as the beginning. And when John says, in the beginning, he means it. He echoes the Genesis story from the beginning of Scripture. He says that Jesus, the living Word, was there at the very beginning. And that Word is creative. It creates. God spoke, and things came to life. When the 7 days were done, God was not done creating. The Word continues on, and he came in the fullness of time to live among us. John wants to see our far horizons. We are at the end of an eventful year, and we are on the cusp of a new one, and the Word extends our horizon and gives us a new beginning. How far can you see? At the very same time, as John takes us up to the peaks and wants us to look far, he reminds us of the good news that at Christmas, a new threshold is crossed. God is with us in a new way. The profound truth that John offers to us, which lives at the heart of the gospel, is not only that God comes to us, but that God comes as one of us. That's big. The Word became flesh and lived among us. We sing of angel choirs, and we think of how wonderful the news is that Jesus came, and we think of Jesus knowing everything and being able to do anything that he wants, but that's not human. Jesus is divine, as our faith confesses, but he also came in the flesh. And in the mystery of the truth of the gospel, it means that Jesus, when he came to dwell among us, struggled with our human struggles. He knows what it's like to have a bad day. He knows what it's like to fall down. He knows what it's like not to have all the answers. That's the scandal of the gospel. Jesus had a nose just like us. He had a brain just like us. He had arms and legs and eyes and emotions like us. He understands our gifts and our limits, our triumphs and our struggles. He knows our joys and our sadness. Jesus was, is, and will always be the living Word in the large sweep of things. But John wants us to be sure to know that he, the living Word, also comes to be with us right smack dab in the midst of our messiness. Because Jesus, as the creative word, is not only concerned with the grand arc of the universe, he also arrives to love us around the next bend of our individual and communal lives. I believe that Jesus, dwelling among us, I believe that Jesus, if he were still here in the flesh, would be at the funeral of the two slain police officers in New York City. He would be there, lamenting and decrying the violence. He would be there, comforting the ones who grieve the tragic loss of their loved ones. I believe Jesus would be with the ones protesting too. He would be protesting the systems that tilt toward benefiting the one at the cost of the other. He would be protesting the systems that compel injustice, that ensconce privilege and protection for the powerful, and pillage the rights and the resources of those on the margins. I believe Jesus would reject the false dichotomies that we love to set up, the dichotomy between supporting the police and appreciating the tough job that they are charged with on the one hand, and racial justice that it does, injustice that does exist in the system on the other. As one of us, Jesus knows what it is like to feel powerless, to struggle, to despair, to grieve. So he comes to us, understanding us. He comes to us to the bedsides of our hospital rooms. He walks through the doors of our assisted living facilities. He comes to us as we are facing the end of life. He comes through the doors as we play the prelude at our funerals. He appears when we are praying desperately for what to do next. He is with us as we study for our next exam or tackle our next big meeting. He is with us in the field as we nurture seeds to grow. He is with us as we put together our budgets and pay our bills. He is with us as we watch TV and ski down the mountain and hike the trail. He is with us when we are arguing and struggling with each other. When we hold abundance in our hands, when we grasp the lion's share of the opportunities of life, when we fail to see through the eyes of our disadvantaged neighbor, when we see life and relationship and our communities as battlefields, he is there to challenge us. When we arm ourselves with intellectual, emotional, spiritual, and physical weapons to fend off our own fears and to fight off our neighbors, when we want to strike out and wound, Jesus is there to disarm us. When we are at the mercy of our anger and hatred toward ourselves or others, Jesus is there. When we fall down and get hurt, when we love someone who is deeply hurt or struggles, when we make our own messiness worse with our mistakes, Jesus is there to pick us up. He abides with us here in worship if we get out of the way. Jesus proclaims Christmas, abides with us. He understands and loves us. I know there are some times, perhaps many times for you, when it seems as if Jesus is absent. I don't have any particularly profound answers for these moments, and beware of those who do seem to have an answer for everything. To me, that's where faith ventures into the realm of denial. It seems to be part of the fallen human experience to feel distant from God at times. Jesus, as one of us, even he discovers this and endures this on the cross. That's why we have to climb from time to time and help each other to climb to the peaks to regain our sense of a larger horizon. In part, If Jesus doesn't seem to be with us, maybe it's because we are looking for a Savior who removes our messiness rather than one who walks with us through it. If it seems as if Jesus is not with us at times and places, perhaps it is because those of us who call ourselves His disciples have fallen short of His call to testify in word and deed to the light. We haven't been there for each other to be Jesus' hands and feet. And maybe God does leave us to our own devices from time to time, like a loving parent who gives the bicycle a push and then lets us go, hoping that we stay up. I don't have complete answers. All I have is the good news of Christmas. The news that Jesus, the living, creative Word, has arrived right smack dab into our messiness, and that if we let Him, if we join together in relationship and community, He teaches, forgives, and loves. Because He came as one of us. Because He understands. He desires not to judge or condemn, but to empower us to live as beloved children of God. He comes with grace upon grace to extend our horizons and send us on new beginnings. So we come to this place and we sing praises. Jesus Emmanuel is with us. It is news that is so good that we can't keep it inside. Listen for the excitement of Isaiah's words. He preaches to exiles who haven't yet returned home. They're still in Babylon. They still have a long journey to go. But he is so excited. He has experienced the call and the presence of God so powerfully that the prophet cannot help but run to our ruins. And he has the audacity to praise as if our salvation has already happened. He is so confident he sings for us. And he takes us to the mountaintop, wants us to see the sweep of things and the love of God that empowers us all. And he wants us to sing too. He invites our feet to announce peace, to bring good news and to proclaim forgiveness and comfort. And as sentries, we watch not in fear or for danger, but for deliverance. In peace and in praise, we recognize the presence of the living God who comes to us and welcomes us just as we are. Let us praise. Amen.